the Memorare. Remember, O most gracious Virgin Mary, that never was it known that anyone who fled to your protection, implored your help, or sought your intercession was left unaided. Inspired by this confidence, I fly to you, O Virgin of Virgins, my Mother. To you I come, before you I stand, sinful and sorrowful. O Mother of the Word incarnate, despise not my petitions, but in your mercy, hear and answer me. Amen.
All across the Gulf South,
it's 7 a.m.
Time to wake up
on Catholic Community Media.
Good morning. You're listening to Wake Up on this beautiful Monday morning. You are tuning your heart to the truth. I'm Gabby Smith, along with Damian Clotto and David Dawson. Happy Monday, guys.
It is a beautiful day out there. Yeah. And a beautiful weekend. I would like to wish my lovely bride a happy birthday today.
Well, happy birthday,
happy
Lisa.
Birthday.
That's right. That's right. Yeah. And also, it's the day when we render unto Caesar. So
yeah. Mm-hmm. Or sometimes Caesar gives some back.
Whoa.
That's true. No, hey, it's yours. It's yours. You just get it back. Yeah.
That's right. It's April 15th, tax day deadline. If you weren't aware of that, you probably better file an extension.
Sorry, we ruined your day. Yes.
Well, today is a feast day of Blessed Caesar de Bus. So we're going to say a little prayer on his behalf and ask for his intercession. Blessed Caesar de Bus, you who left us the admirable example of a life completely dedicated to God, you who were on fire with the desire to communicate the life of God to your brothers, intercede for us with the Lord now so that the same fire may consume us and the same charity urge us. We ask this through Christ our Lord. Amen.
Amen.
In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen. Amen. We will learn more about our saint of the day later on during today's show, but at 10 after, we have some events in our listening area we will give you details about. You can find all of these events and so much more at ccmedia.live. In 18 minutes, Thomas Jacoby joins us. He is an assistant editor of Ignatius Press, and today we are diving into Christian obedience with the new book called On Obedience. Thomas will dive deeper into this. I'm actually very curious to learn a little bit more about Christian obedience.
Yeah, because...
How exactly that is defined.
Yeah, it sounds like it rubs a lot of folks the wrong way, so...
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Yes. Sure. Thomas will give us all the details about it. Mm-hmm. In 35 minutes, Alan Migliorato joins us. He's a co-author of many books, but one of them is Failing Forward, Leadership Lessons for Catholic Teens Today. And on Monday, we talk about raising Catholic teens in today's world. Well, today we are going to be discussing modesty. Do your teens have it and know what it is? So that'll be an interesting topic. With Alan today, it's always a good time. We always leave the conversation with a little bit of knowledge than like we didn't have before with Alan. So, anyway,
or frustration.
I love having Alan on.
Yeah.
Or frustration. I always enjoy his segments.
Me too.
And Claudia McAdam will be joining us. She's a Catholic author and she has a new children's book called Mother Cabrini, A Heart for the World. So looking forward to having Claudia join us once again. And Damian, looking forward to your weather report. What is today looking like for us?
Well, I'm glad you're looking forward to it because there's going to be a mixture of sunshine and clouds throughout the day. Southerly breeze blowing at about 10 to 15 miles an hour. Nice and warm and comfortable. No rain in the forecast. High 85, low 68. Tomorrow just about the same, only a little bit windier. 15 to 20 mile an hour wind still out of the south, and the high is going to be in the mid 80s and up for the rest of the week. Little or no chance of rain in the forecast through Friday, Saturday, possibly even into Sunday. Great time to get out there. When I say slight, 10%, give or take, depending on where you live. Mm-hmm. Temperatures in and around the area right now. The cool spot is in Covington. It's 58 degrees there. 64 in Houma Thibodaux, over in Gulfport, 67. 61 in Baton Rouge and in the Crescent City. Currently 68 degrees, warming up nicely. Should be a wonderful day to get out and get after it, just like you did over the weekend. It's almost 5 after the hour on this Monday morning of Wake Up. Stick around. We have your gospel and reflection coming your way.
I'm Father Chris Decker, and today's gospel is taken from John chapter 6. After Jesus had fed the 5,000 men, his disciples saw him walking on the sea. The next day, the crowd that remained across the sea saw that there had been only one boat there, and that Jesus had not gone along with his disciples in the boat, but only his disciples had left. Other boats came from Tiberias, near the place where they had eaten the bread when the Lord gave thanks. When the crowd saw that neither Jesus nor his disciples were there, they themselves got into boats and came to Capernaum looking for Jesus. And when they found him across the sea, they said to him, "Rabbi, when did you get here?" Jesus answered them and said, "Amen, amen, I say to you, you are looking for me not because you saw signs, but because you ate the loaves and were filled. Do not work for food that perishes, but for the food that endures for eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. For on him the Father, God, has set his seal." So they said to him, "What can we do to accomplish the works of God?" Jesus answered and said to them, "This is the work of God, that you believe in the one he sent." We've heard the gospel, and now we reflect.
After performing the miracle of feeding the 5,000, Jesus went aside to pray. He rejoined the apostles by walking on water to cross the Sea of Galilee. For Jesus' contemporaries, these miracles recalled two great miracles in the life of the Israelites. God defied the laws of nature to part the Red Sea in order to bring his people out of their bondage in Egypt. Then he provided the manna to feed them, which in Hebrew literally means, "What is it?" When the crowd catches up with Jesus in Capernaum, he begins the Bread of Life discourse. Jesus will provide the theological basis for understanding the Blessed Eucharist in the context of the great events that will later take place, the Last Supper, his passion, and death. He begins with the admonition, "Do not work for food that perishes, but for the food that endures for eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you." The disciples are like us. They were preoccupied with the concerns of daily life. What to eat, what to wear, what to do. It is often difficult for Jews to earn a living under Rome's heavy taxation. Nevertheless, Jesus wants them to focus on eternal realities. Natural food sustains life for a time, but the supernatural food Jesus wants to give will give eternal life. At this point in the narrative, Jesus' audience asks the right question. What can we do to accomplish the works of God? They understand that God demands correct behavior. What must they do to acquire this food that endures to eternal life? Jesus then takes them to the starting point, the basics. This is the work of God, that you believe in the one he, that is the Father, sent. The surrender of faith is the vital starting point in the spiritual life. Well, how vibrant is our faith? Do we really believe? Can we prove it by our behavior? I'm reminded of the saying, "Don't tell me what a great hunter you are. Show me your pelts." Have a wonderful day. This is Jimmy Sagers.
Thank you, Jimmy Baby, and Father Chris Decker. And welcome back to Wake Up. Damian Collado, Gabby Smith, David Dawson, all here to share with you some events that you may want to take part in this particular week or the weeks ahead. Here's something, though, that's really an announcement. This is where you can really give from the heart. Pregnancy Services, a program of Catholic Charities of the Archdiocese of New Orleans, is asking you for help. They are in the desperate need for diapers and wipes for new and expected mothers. With more than 12,000 diapers distributed every month, they are struggling to keep up with the demand. Every donation makes a world of difference for these families. If you want to know how to contribute, where to go, just go to ccano.org or ccmedia.live. We'll have all the details for you.
And Archbishop Amon will begin the process for the 2029 Diaconate Formation Group, and the following evenings have been set aside for Come and See Information Night. The process of inquiry discernment for the next information group is beginning, and the following sessions will be held at the ANO office lunchroom on the following dates. That's Tuesday, April 23rd, Wednesday, May 1st, Tuesday, May 7th, and Wednesday, May 15th. And then all these times, it's going to be 6:30 p.m. on all these evenings, and an RSVP is required. And so you want to send the RSVP. Well, I'll tell you what, go to ccmedia.live. We'll have where you can send that RSVP, because you're not going to remember what I'm going to talk about here. So just go to ccmedia.live.
That's why we keep it simple.
Indeed. Yeah. Yes.
It's on the website now. That and all of the dates, information you need for the diaconate program information sessions. So go ahead and check that out. Yeah. Well, the Magnificat prayer breakfast is quickly approaching. This is a ministry for Catholic women. They are having speaker Sandy France join on April 27th from 9 to noon at the Oak Lodge Reception Center in Baton Rouge. Music Ministry of Mercy Beaucoup will Merci lead beaucoup. In prayer and worship. You can go to ccmedia.live for more information and to take a look at Sandy's wonderful story on how she got closer to God through prayer life and more adoration, surrendering, and trust. So go to ccmedia.live for more information.
All righty. And world-renowned author, speaker, and just a cool Catholic, Dan Burke, is going to be setting the captives free. That's his talk. It's coming up this weekend. It's a spiritual warfare and the discernment of spirits taking place at St. Agnes at Saturday, April 20th, and it's going to be from 9:30 until 12:45. 7:30, they're going to open the doors so you can go to confession ahead of time. Mass is at 8, registration at 9, and the event begins, as I said, at 9:30. It's $29 a person. This is a great talk, and again, spiritual warfare and the discernment of spirits. You'll learn a lot if you attend. Go to ccmedia.live for details.
All Are Welcome is a support group that was established by parents of special needs children in conjunction with the Diocese of Baton Rouge to provide resources, fellowship, opportunities for persons with exceptional or special needs children and their families. So to learn more about that support, All Are Welcome, go to ccmedia.live.
Yep, real quick, tickets are now available for the Woman's New Life Clinic Saved in Hope Dinner in Baton Rouge with keynote speaker Dr. John Bruchalski. Go to ccmedia.live for more information. The dinner is taking place May 8th in Baton Rouge, starting at 7.
Well, if you always wanted to learn about obedience, you're going to want to listen to the next interview we have coming up with Thomas Jacoby here on Wake Up.
This is Franciscan Media's Saint of the Day for April 15th. Today we celebrate Blessed César de Bouze. Well-to-do and popular, César de Bouze chose an army career early in life. Happy as a soldier, things were going along smoothly until he saw firsthand the realities of battle. Though he'd been brought up to be pious and virtuous, César turned to pleasure and dissipation after spending 3 years in Paris. Not long after, he fell seriously ill and returned to his country home. During that time, César began reviewing his priorities, including his spiritual life. By the time he recovered, he had resolved to become a priest. Following his ordination in 1582, César undertook pastoral work that was much needed at the time, teaching the catechism to ordinary people living in France's neglected, rural, out-of-the-way places. Working with his cousin, César developed what we would call today a family catechesis program. Bishops were delighted with his efforts to ward off heresy among all the people, and not just to catechize children. A new religious congregation grew out of this work, the Fathers of Christian Doctrine. César de Bouze died in 1607 and was beatified in 1975. There's more about the saints along with inspiration and Catholic resources at our website, saintoftheday.org. From Franciscan Media, this has been Saint of the Day.
Past the hour, you are tuning your heart to the truth. I'm David Dawson, along with Gabby Smith and Damian Collada. Right now, we have Thomas Jacoby joining us. He's the assistant editor of Ignatius Press, and we're going to talk about Christian obedience and the new book on obedience. I'm not sure if it's a new book or not. Hey, Thomas, good morning.
Morning to you, sir.
Now, is this like a re-release of an older book, if from what I read? Is that right?
That's right. It's a re-release of an older book. It was probably, probably came out in the 50s. Yeah, it came out in the 50s.
Okay.
And, yeah, Adrienne von Speyer, so she actually died in 1967. She was born in 1902. Mm-hmm. She was a Swiss doctor. Okay. Interestingly, so she grew up Protestant. In her third, she always felt like something was a little bit off with her Protestantism. She couldn't tell what it was. And in her 30s, after she went through a lot of tragedy in life, she found that the church's teaching was the only source of her consolation. And it was with the help of a particular priest who kind of helped her find her way.
Wow.
And after that, she became this extremely prolific theologian and continued to live her life as a doctor. She had children, too, take care of her children, live an ordinary life as a laywoman in the world. But she became a real extremely prolific, I mean, we're talking like 60 books kind
Goodness.
Of theologian. I don't know how, I've never even read 60 books, I feel like, in my life.
But you know, I mean, really, that's what I was thinking, too, because if it's titled On Obedience, that means she has many other topics as well, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well,
yeah, in fact, one book we're trying to put out by her later this year is called Doctor and Patient, and it's about actually how to live out your vocation as a Christian doctor, which is something that I think hasn't been talked about very much.
Actually. Oh, I think it needs to be talked about a lot. But when you look on obedience, you know, at the title On Obedience and what obedience is and what they're saying about this book is how freeing and joyful it is, whereas that doesn't, in our culture today, that just doesn't seem to make sense.
No, absolutely not. I'm 34. I grew up. I was a punk rock guy, you know, in high school. And obedience is the absolute opposite.
You were totally, obedient to anything.
So think about, you're a loser. The word obedience already, you think about obedience school for dogs. That's immediately what pops up.
Right.
And then, but then beyond that, you also think about, I don't know if you've seen those posters that just say obey, and it's supposed to be like making fun of, you think of like a fascist dictator.
Exactly,
you know, like Mussolini.
Mm-hmm.
Just obey. But no, actually, but what Adrienne von Speyer is showing is that, for one, we know that Christ himself was obedient, not only to Joseph and Mary, well, to Mary first,
sure,
and to Joseph and Mary, but he was obedient to the Father, you know?
All the way to the cross, yes.
All the way to the cross. Mm-hmm. And Adrienne von Speyer says, in the resurrection, too, he did that in obedience. You know, that's all part of, and there's great freedom in obedience. And what she points out is that we're always, always living under obedience, whether we realize it or not, no matter how free we think we are. We're obedient to time.
Yep.
We're obedient to our physical limitations. Mm-hmm. We're obedient. We got to be obedient to our financial realities.
True.
And actually, we do live in a culture of disobedience. We want to be disobedient to the bodies we receive from God.
Yeah.
Often. Or we just, we don't want to accept, I don't know, like people being super greedy, whatever, like trying to steal money. We don't want to accept like the limitations that our job places upon us. But if I don't go to work in the morning, I lose my job. It's just a fact. I don't see that as a limitation on my freedom, you know.
Yeah.
Anyway, so her point is that even this most basic level of obedience and just obedience, kind of like our physical reality that we live in every day, we don't even think about it. That's already a small participation in what Christ is doing, because he became man. He became flesh. He accepted the limitation of the human body. He put himself in time, you know, because he wanted to share that with us.
So how is it then, because it's described, they say Christian obedience is actual freedom. What do they mean by that?
Trust.
Well, so Christian obedience means, so the word obedience comes from the old Latin root obudire, which means to listen really closely.
Okay.
Obedience, therefore, means Christian obedience means listening really carefully to God, praying, listening very, very carefully, and doing what the Holy Spirit tells us to do. And when we do that, and she says that miracles, so she says in the case of miracles, that the saint carries them out, or if Jesus himself carries them out, every miracle, she says, is always a miracle of obedience, because it's always something the one carrying out the miracle, has total confidence. I'm doing what God's telling me to do.
Okay.
I know the Holy Spirit's moving me. This is going to happen. It's going to unlock something that's totally that's going to be totally impossible.
Yeah.
You know, it's going to freeze Jesus. You know,
okay.
to turn the loaves to you know turn the five loaves into to feed 5,000.
I see. Okay.
Yeah.
So go ahead. In my opinion, it's trust and faith. It's a belief. Mm-hmm. And if you believe in that individual, the challenge is the secular world has convinced us, us meaning the populace, that it is we know better than someone else. And that's where I think the separation between an individual and Christ or God is the conflict. And if we can be submissive and obedient, we'll find out that we are free in our world, in our daily lives.
Hmm. Yeah. Thomas, you know, along the lines of what you were saying, and Damien, what you were just saying just now, what I'm understanding here is if we just totally submit, we totally surrender, that is actually freeing. Is that right?
Mm-hmm. I'd say so.
Yeah.
I think that it's submission. As long as it's submission to the Lord, to God, the one who actually is worth submitting to.
Sure, no, that's exactly right.
And of course, the church, because he's given the church that authority. You know,
okay.
He alone is.
Yeah.
And it's interesting, the church, in her wisdom, has she's actually placed some restrictions upon what obedience can look like. And I found this pretty interesting in studying this topic through this book.
Okay.
Yeah, so, for example, in religious life, I mean, the famous vows of poverty, chastity, and obedience, you know.
Okay.
And a monk, particularly monks and nuns, they live a very radical form of obedience. But even for them, obedience, the church, in wisdom, has seen fit that, for example, when it comes to spiritual matters, a spiritual director who's, you know, dictating their prayer, or a confessor, or somebody like that.
Right.
They can't command them to think something. They can't command them to feel something.
True.
A spiritual director can't command obedience for the person under his authority.
Okay.
And that's because the church knows that the soul is ultimately free. I mean, St. Paul says that for freedom we were set free, you know?
Yeah.
And it's interesting, so the church, always, even in obedience, always there has to be this room for total freedom toward God.
Yeah.
And total inner freedom. And so that, because otherwise obedience can become, it has become, and we've seen this with the abuses in the church, it can become something ugly, you know, something, mm-hmm. well, you have to do this because I'm under this word. But it should actually be something profoundly beautiful and profoundly freeing, like you say. It should be an act of trust. Like, I have a six-month-old son, you know, and I feel like he's totally, whether he likes it or not, he's totally obedient.
Yeah.
I pick him up, and he's totally in my control.
Yeah, that's true.
I mean, he has no idea, and he just totally trusts me.
Yeah.
But in that obedience, when I look at it, I'm like, man, that is something. It's something that the look in his eyes, that look of just total trust, there's something so unbelievably free about that to me. There's something so I want to be like,
I want to be like that too. No, that is a great explanation. That is wonderful. So,
I think it's also important to note that following God's will is not always easy. But following it leads us to true peace and freedom. And it might not be something that we want to do at the time, but God knows better than we do.
Yeah.
Sees the bigger picture. We're almost like that child, like, no, I want the candy bar, but it's almost dinner time. And we know as parents that if the child eats the candy bar, they won't eat the dinner. You know, it'll spoil the food and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So it's almost like we almost have to be obedient and surrender to his will to find true happiness and peace and ultimately have that better relationship with God, which is not always easy to do, especially in today's world.
That's Satan's work, right? He wants to confuse you. He wants you to think obedience is a bad word, and it's not.
Yep.
Well, and it has been twisted on us, that's for sure. This really does sound like a delightful book. And it's okay. You've already released it, right? I mean, it's already out, right? Ignatius Press.
It's out. It's been out about 3 months now.
About 3 months now. Okay. And the book is called On Obedience. And I can't get her. You're going to have to help me out with the name. Adrian von Speyer.
Adrian von Speyer. Yes,
okay. Spire. Okay. I close enough. I got it. All right.
If you press practice enough.
I know, and I may.
You do this for a for a living. Yeah.
Thomas Jacoby, thank you for joining us. We appreciate that, and hope we get to talk to you soon about some other books y'all have. So,
I'd love to. Thank you all so much.
All right. God bless. That is interesting cool. because there's a lot of new material coming out along these lines. Well, I wouldn't say new material, a lot of new old material that they're republishing. Mm-hmm. A lot of these Tan books and the Ignatius Press and such are re-releasing these gems that are out there that are written way back when.
Yeah.
And some in the 1700s and such, but they're so profound and they're so good.
It's still relevant.
Beautiful treasures out there.
If not more. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Definitely check that
Absolutely.
Out.
Absolutely. All right. Well, we come back, we're going to be talking to another book author. Alan Migliorato and Damien? Yeah, Damien's going to be talking to him. So join us. It's 1:30 on Wake Up.
After the hour here on Wake Up, it's April 15th, Tax Day.
Oh.
All right.
Damien's excited.
With us now, Alan Migliorato, co-author of Failing Forward Leadership Lessons for Catholic Teens Today. And he's also has his website, AdventureCatholic.com. With us today, our topic, modesty is such a lonely word.
What?
Modesty.
Oh, I never heard that song before. But
oh, yeah. It used to be called yes. Honesty, but I changed the word to modesty. Okay. So that's what our topic is today. Sorry I ruined your morning already. But Alan, share with us. Modesty, it has a lot of meanings and different views, doesn't it?
Yes, yes. I almost hung up with your singing. No, I'm here, though. I'm here. I didn't know if it was going to be like the whole song. I was a little worried.
Oh, no. I never get through the whole song. Too many tomatoes thrown at me.
Commercial. Yeah. I'm talking about modesty, and it's one of, I think this is one of the topics that teenagers, especially teenage girls, just don't want to talk about, right? And it's a very difficult topic to talk about with girls because everything seems to be directed at teenage girls or young women or women in general. And I think it's an unfair way to approach that because when we talk about modesty, it's easy to look at somebody and say, oh, that dress is too short, that top is too low, mm-hmm. why are they wearing jeans to church, why it's a t-shirt, come on, dress up for the Lord. And it's easy for us to do those things, right?
Yeah.
And there needs to be that discussion, but there also needs to be the discussion of that is not the only definition of modesty. Right, and modesty is not only in what we wear. Modesty is in how we speak, in what we do, how we behave, how we present ourselves to others. And I think that ladies get an awful rap with this because it's only directed at them. You know, you got guys that are swearing and cutting up and mm-hmm. and that's not modest. Right. You know, but mm-hmm. we don't see that as much, or they hide it better in public. You know, but the more comfortable you get with young men sometimes, the more things come out of their mouths that are immodest. And so, like, we've got to call each other out. We have to speak the truth with love. We have got to start, you know, being able to talk about these things. But the first thing that we have to do when it comes to this is not to only blame women for dressing immodestly, because when we put the weight of the world on their shoulders by saying how you dress is going to make a man sin, that's really an awful thing to tell a woman. It really is. Yeah. And I'm not saying that part of that is not true where the temptation comes in. Like, we're not supposed to cause our brothers to sin. If I have a friend who's an alcoholic, I'm not going to go have a beer with him because I think that that's going to cause him to be tempted to do something that I know that would not be good for him. Mm-hmm. So like the scripture says, you know, if I know what causes you to sin, I'm not going to eat or drink those things or, you know, that cause you to sin. I'll just avoid those things. So we've got to start paying attention to that, and at the same time, like, figuring out what the definition of modesty is, because it seems relative, right? I mean, I know that I've looked at people in church and gone, come on, you know, like, it's club wear, you know, sometimes, yeah. and or you hear a guy, you know, that just just behind you, just kind of talking about everything except what's going on, you know, at Mass. Mm-hmm. Talking about, I got to get home, we got to watch this game. That, to me, that's not modest, you know, that's not reverent. Hmm. There's no reverence in that speech.
So is it primarily about dress? I mean, is it something that teens, girls, as well as male teens, do they even concern themselves with it?
So the reason I want to talk about this topic, and I just did my radio show about this last Friday, but we had a girl show up to youth group, and she was wearing shorts that honestly looked like she painted them on, mm-hmm. and they were extremely short, you know, and I didn't even think she was wearing shorts for a second, and it's an awkward thing for me as a male to walk up to a female, no matter how well I know her, and say, hey, you can't be wearing that stuff. Like, come on. Because then you have the question, well, why not? What's wrong with them? Mm-hmm. And that's a hard question to answer with where they can understand it. You know, you're a child of God. Is this how you want people to think of you? Well, you know, it shouldn't matter how people think of me. So now we get into this long, drawn-out discussion of, well, that's true to some extent, but it also is true that is that expressing who you truly are? So I had a couple of the lady catechists that were there, the women catechists that were there, kind of go up and talk to her, and everything went well. It's just a matter of, you know, finding that relationship. You know, you have to have relationship. You have to be able to speak the truth with love. There's all kinds of things that go into it. Mm-hmm. You know, we don't separate all of the lessons that Christ teaches us about you know, calling in and being there for our brothers and sisters in Christ and being part of the body of Christ. And just talk about the way she's dressed, because we have to come at that with care and you know, and reverence, and it's got to come from a place of love.
All right, so the parents are trying to tell the child you can't go out dressed like that, but they do it anyway. So maybe there's no consequences or repercussions based on that. In is it just dress, though? Is it just a style? Because I know there's a group out there of teenage girls called Pure Fashion, and I'm reading that concept is changing, though I'm sure it's pretty challenging due to the fact that the seductive lifestyles that they see from all these entertainers is the way they ought to go with their style of dress. So why do they do it? Are they looking for attention?
Well, you know, it's difficult sometimes, because with the clothes that are out there, like prom is coming up, right? So you look at the dresses that are offered to go to prom. I mean, they're shorter and shorter. They're more revealing and more revealing. And we're responsible for that as well. You know, so what do? Well, I had a friend who had to go out of state or order something online, ordered like 5 dresses online for his daughter that came in because she was ashamed to wear some of the things that were offered. But here's my tip on this. It takes the parents, right, obviously, to be responsible and to be able to speak to their kids about it. But sometimes the kids will leave home and wear something different or act a different way, and it's not just about dress, right? Mm-hmm. And so, like, they might have something on underneath, because I know this girl's family, and I'm 90% sure she wasn't wearing what she was wearing when she left her house. Mm-hmm. But I know that she got to the church and went into the bathroom. I didn't see, but she came out of the bathroom wearing that. So I don't know what she was wearing when she went in, but I could assume it wasn't that. So it's part of raising Catholic teens is being part of that faith-filled community. And it takes 5 faith-filled adults to raise a teen that stays connected as an active, intentional disciple with the Catholic Church. So that means they got 2 parents. Maybe you got a youth minister, an uncle, an aunt, you know, a deacon, a priest. It takes 5 of us to raise a child. So if we don't say anything about the way that she's dressed, right, or the way that these boys might be acting or talking, if we let those kind of behaviors go without, I'm not saying throw the hammer, you know, down on them, but we do have to address some of these things and maybe speak with the parents and say, I'm not sure if you're aware the way your son is acting, but I'm like, mm-hmm. I'm not okay with that behavior, or I'm not okay with, you know, the kind of clothing that she's wearing coming here. And you know, youth ministers are like, well, at least she's coming to youth group. Well, really, is that our standard to show up?
Yeah,
you know,
right,
or is it to call each other to a higher level? And I think it's to call each other to a higher level. I think just showing up means I can just go to church and go to sleep and I checked off a box.
Yeah.
So, like, we've got to level up.
Is there a challenge with false modesty?
Well, what do you mean?
Yeah. Well, what I mean by that is they pretend that they are modest. They pretend that they're humble, but deep down they're very prideful. Oh, I don't really want to do that. But deep down they go about doing it after they say they don't want to do it or are encouraged to do it. In other words, they act humble, but they're not.
Hmm. Yeah, well, of course. I mean, that's a temptation for many people, you know, just to kind of put out airs that, you know, like, oh, that's not me, but it's really you. And I think everybody does that at some level, unfortunately. But yeah, that's not good either. Obviously, God knows who we are, right? And we want to make sure that everybody else sees us the way God sees us. So that means in our actions, in the words that we say, in the clothing that we wear, we've got to make sure that we're being diligent and being reverent, right? Well, that's so important,
consistent. And really, they have a struggle, teens today, only because of the fact that what they see in the secular world, they're being told so many things, whether it be online, television, radio commercials. You got to be this, you got to be that, you got to wear this, you got to wear that. And they feel like that's what they have to do, when really they don't. So if they're connected to Christ, they'll have a head start at least in trying to decipher that. In the meantime, AdventureCatholic.com, Alan Migliorato. Thank you for being with us on Wake Up.
All right, guys. God bless.
It is 48 past the hour. You are tuning your heart to the truth. I'm Gabby Smith, along with Damian Collado and David Dawson. Claudia McAdam joins us once again, and she's here to talk about her new children's book called Mother Cabrini, A Heart for the World. Hey, Claudia, welcome back. It's so good to hear from you again.
Good morning. I love being with you all, too.
Well, we have been on Mother Cabrini overload the last few months, learning more about the saint than I've ever learned. And I do believe it's because of the movie has really sparked the interest of so many authors to really put their insights and to learn a little bit more about this wonderful saint. But this book that you have written on Mother Cabrini is for children to learn a little bit more about this saint. So tell us a little bit more about this beautiful picture book on Mother Cabrini.
Well, thank you. It's called Mother Cabrini, A Heart for the World. And because that movie, that beautiful, beautiful movie is PG-13 rated, Angel Studios, the production company behind the film, commissioned me to write a picture book that younger children can access to learn more about this wonderful saint. So my book, it's a 40-page, fully illustrated picture book. And there's a page in the back that's a biographical page about Mother Cabrini, but this book itself is basically a story of a little snippet of her life that's set in the late 1880s in New York City. It's a place that's teeming with Italian immigrants, and it's also a place where the rats had it better than the children who were living in the sewers of that city, abandoned and orphaned kids. And then St. Francis Cabrini, she wasn't a saint yet, but she was well on her way. A religious sister from Italy came with a handful of her religious sisters to New York, and she rescued those children, and she gave them a home and her heart and developed orphanages, hospitals, schools, et cetera, not just in the New York area, but actually around the world in the next 60 so years. So it's my story is just a little story about one incident with her building her first orphanage in New York City.
Oh, could you tell us a little bit more about why you focused on that?
You know, I think it's such a dramatic little entryway into her life. When she arrived in New York, it was the Italian immigrants were so impoverished and so discriminated against, and she herself was subject of a lot of that discrimination. But she wasn't afraid. She depended on the Lord. All her work was directed to, you know, living out the Lord's will in her life. She was a very faith-filled woman. And this story in particular, I think kids will enjoy because they see children their own age who perhaps don't have it quite as good as those kids who are reading the book have it. And they see what the courageous witness of this one woman and her religious sisters did to rescue those kids and how their lives were completely changed when she came into them. And what a wonderful example she is of living out the corporal works of mercy.
So, Claudia, this is David.
Hi, David.
Angel Studios commissioned you to write the book. Did I get that right?
You did, yes.
Okay. So, did you write it after the movie, or did you write it what you knew beforehand, or how did that work?
I wrote it after the movie.
Oh, wow.
I was sent a link to watch the movie online before it came out.
Oh.
So I watched it several times, and I was able to pull from the movie some of the important scenes from that movie for my book. And then the illustrator, Richard Cowdery, he's a New York Times best-selling children's illustrator.
Mm-hmm.
He was commissioned to do the illustrations, and he actually depicts a lot of those scenes from the movie in his illustrations. So he replicated some of the, if you've seen the movie and you read the book, you'll recognize some of the scenes.
Some of the scenes?
Although they're, although they're done in illustration.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Wonderful.
Yeah. Claudia, in the segment before yours, we were talking about modesty and really just good role models that our teens are looking up to, and not so good role models that our teens are looking up to on social media. A lot of this stuff is so fake. Filters, AI, the list goes on and on. You can't always trust what you see on social media and body image and all of that. But let's talk about good role models, especially Mother Cabrini. I know this is for children. Teens may or may not be picking this up, you know, maybe to read to their little brothers or sisters. But why is a saint like Mother Cabrini a good role model for our children to look up to, especially young women, as they grow up in this world and eventually will pick up a phone and whatever is popular at that time, look at someone and say, I want to be like that. But it's not really a good role model. So why is Mother Cabrini that can be that good role model, especially for young women?
That's a great segue from your previous segment, which I did listen to and found it really, really valuable. And we need to provide our young people, our kids, with actual, realistic role models. And nobody could be better than Mother Cabrini. Here's a woman who put her whole self into others. She did what the Lord requires of us when he speaks in as it's recorded in Matthew chapter 25, with you have to feed the hungry and clothe the naked and visit the sick and all the things that we're required to do. And when we die, we'll be asked that question. What did you do for me?
Mm-hmm.
Jesus will say, and we'll say, well, when did we see you homeless or naked or sick or in prison? And he'll say, whenever you treated the least of these people on earth, what people consider to be the least of the people on earth, whenever you treat them with kindness, you've done that for me. And that's where we need to set our focus and put people up as examples for our kids to understand that is the way we are supposed to live.
Mm. Yeah.
I think saints are the perfect role models for our children.
Yeah.
And to learn a little bit more about them, that's why I'm all about these movies about the saints. You know, stuff like The Chosen. I know, Claudia, you were in as an extra in The Chosen, but just that dives a little bit deeper, brings the whole family together and learns a little bit more, where we can learn a little bit more about our faith and our history as well. But Claudia, you have a website that has a plethora of information about books, and you are just not stopping with children's books. We're about to reach out to you about another one that you have that just has come out, but we're running out of time. Where can we go to find out more information about what you've written and take a look at the book, Mother Cabrini, A Heart for the World?
My website is ClaudiaMcAdam.com, and there's a book trailer that gives you a little insight into what this book looks like and what it covers. So I appreciate your time so much, and I'm heading next week back to be an extra again in The Chosen. So I'll tell you all about that.
Okay. Ooh,
yes.
I'm looking forward to that.
I know. I'm looking forward to I didn't see it in theaters, so I'm looking forward to watching it once it goes on the streaming platforms and stuff. But Claudia, we're going to have you back on to talk about that. That's such a cool perspective. And of course, the children's books that you continue to write. Thank you for being with us today.
Thank you. God bless you all, and a happy Easter to everyone.
Thank you.
Happy Easter to you. This won't be the last time you'll hear from Claudia McAdam.
Oh, no.
She does not stop.
No, those books,
she's
I swear.
She's writing them great books.
She cranks them out. And they're good, too. They're very good.
Yeah, they are.
Mm-hmm. Well, we thank you all for watching and listening to us this morning here on Wake Up. We're going to close with a prayer in the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen. Jesus, my Redeemer, I thank you for coming into the world to save us. Thank you for the gift of the redemption of the world. When we are tempted to fear and turn our eyes to difficulties of the world, give us the grace we need to turn to you in hope and trust. Enter the storms of our life, dear Lord, and lift our burdens of fear. Jesus, I trust in you. Amen.
Amen.
In the name of the Father, Amen. Son, Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much for joining us today. We'll catch you back here tomorrow at 7 a.m. Central Time. Steve Ray, Catholic convert and speaker, will join us. We have some events in our listening area we will give you details about, along with Bishop Michael Duca, Bishop of the Diocese of Baton Rouge. He'll talk about how we can continue to celebrate the Easter season and also a small diocesan update. And Don Buettner joins us to talk about Too Small a World, the life of Mother Frances Cabrini, because we're not stopping. We're going to continue. Continue to talk about Mother Cabrini and the wonderful things. Oh my goodness, stay with us. Jeff Blackwell, our audio director, thank you so much. Yes. And Karen Cotton, our video technical director. We're so glad and grateful for you. Thanks for tuning in. Have a wonderful Monday. God bless.
Wake Up is a production of Catholic Community Media.